Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to episode 11 of The Gamesman, recorded on Friday, August 28th, 2009. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Lifelike, assuming the role of your host. With me for episode 11, he's back again, Excalibur.
Hello, Gamesmen. Happy Friday to all.
And as you can hear that tiny bit of laughter making his triumphant return is the Rabid Scotsman.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back with you and my apparently now British friend.
All right, so what's been going on, guys?
Just playing some games, man. There's some phenomenal games.
Oh, good week for games, huh?
Yeah, it's been a really good week for games, man.
For those of us,
hard to keep up with them all.
I'm still renting old games.
There's nothing wrong with that. These are, whenever you get to them, these are going to be a good batch of games.
Yeah.
It looks like good downloadable games on almost every system.
Yeah, it's been a surprisingly really, really phenomenal early fall.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for what's to come because it's already starting.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a good summer of arcade. I mean, that summer of arcade kept me going strong through the summer. But I don't know how other people feel, but those arcade games this summer were really good on PS3 and on 360.
Yes.
Especially 360.
Yes. All right, boys. Well, I guess we might as well get right into email. We're going to do the email before the featured music because it piggybacks off of one another. The first email is from Dragonarse, and Scotsman, that is yours.
Oh, all right, cool. Let's see, I've been a little preoccupied lately with my upgraded computer, new graphics card and memory, and with our annual fantasy football draft coming up soon, I barely have time to catch each episode of TGM. Just wanted you guys to know that I'm still lurking and how proud I am of everyone involved. Nice. The show has progressed to the point that even my wife commented about how professional you all sounded. Keep up the great work. That's really good to hear. So he goes on and says, I'd like to hear more music like the orchestral cuts from the EPI with Z-Dub a few weeks back. while I'm listening, I often close my eyes and let the music take control. I imagine myself running up a hill, running, nearing the crest of a hill. As I reach the top and the music changes pace, I see a golden city in the distance. And now, as music has changed tempo again, I'm doing everything in my power to get down there as quickly as possible. I'm swinging in the trees like Tarzan or swimming against the current. I trip and fall or roll down the hill. I could go on and on. Music has that kind of effect on my imagination, especially when it's music I'm hearing for the first time. From a game I've never heard of. But that was good music. It really was. He goes on to say, I have one other thought concerning the RPG segments of the show. How about some role reversal? Excalibur, Rabid Scotsman, Zirin Wing, and Acid Bee assume the roles of co-hosts for a week, and each crafts a battle question. Lifelike, you, sir, are thrown into the melee for a change. Give it to him, good guys. Give it to him, I guess, is what he's saying. You've each earned the right to turn the tables. Peace out, homies. Keep it fun, keep it interesting, and just keep them coming. Your pal, Dragonarse. Well, thanks a lot, man. That means a lot.
Nice. That sounds good.
Yeah, that's a great email.
Yeah.
I would be more than happy to be thrown into the melee. That's no problem. You can throw me to the lions anytime. I mean, I've crafted so many questions at this point that that I think I have enough information in this cranium of mine that I think I can handle it. But then again, who knows until I get there?
I don't know. If we're making the questions for you, you put me on the spot really hard last week. And weeks I got some questions for you. I don't think it'd be as easy as you.
Maybe not.
I'll make sure of that.
Well, we're actually looking into some of that stuff. Not format changes, but just special little times, maybe every 5 or 10 episodes that we might change up the format a little bit.
Keep it fresh.
Yes, and thanks for the email, Dragonars. Appreciate it. Next email, Mike, a.k.a. Frustrated PC User, and that one goes to you, Excalibur.
Has anyone played the new Batman game that was just released on a PC? I am on the fence whether or not to purchase the game. Your expert input would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Mike, a.k.a. Frustrated PC User.
We might as well get into this right now because there were some pre-show comments wanting us to go in-depth about Batman. It's really demanding attention from everywhere.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of praise.
Well, first of all, it's nice to hear that there's a good Batman game out there.
And it is.
I mean, the first one released on the NES was, I mean, it was what it was.
That was a really good game.
It wasn't bad.
I still remember the music for that game. I loved that game.
But ever since then.
Since then.
Just nothing. Although I heard Lego Batman was good, but I don't think that counts.
I don't think.
But
that,
you know, as for a hardcore Batman title, there are a lot of people saying a lot of really good things. I haven't heard anything bad yet, and I haven't had the chance to delve into anything more than the demo. But what I saw, I liked.
I saw that the Guinness World Book of Records says that Batman is the most critically acclaimed superhero game ever made.
Yes.
Which I don't think is that hard to do, but pretty much that just means it's the best reviewed across the board out of any superhero game ever made. And, I mean, for good reason, too. The game is, first of all, just beautiful. I played it on the 360. Lifelike, still beautiful on the PlayStation 3.
Oh, man. It is one of those few Unreal Engine 3 games that I can really look at and say, man, that... You know, it's not the first thing that I think of when I see it. Rocksteady have went to great lengths to differentiate it from your typical attributes of an Unreal Engine 3 game.
Yeah.
Nothing shiny unless it's meant to be. Nothing has that wet look. You know, it is just every piece of it is just well done. I mean, the presentation is fantastic. Every time you kill a group of enemies, or every time you find a Riddler trophy, anything like that, when it happens, when there's some element of text that comes up on the screen, it's usually shuffled in by silhouetted bats, and then it stays on the screen for a second, and then it breaks up into bats again, and they fly off of the screen. Like, the presentation is incredible.
Yeah, I noticed that they had a lot of fun with all that.
I wonder how... Remember how last week... we were talking about games getting pushed back and delayed. And I haven't heard anybody talking about it, but if you remember, it was supposed to come out last fall. And people they showed the demo off, and it got really bad hype, like in reviews or previews.
You know what? I forgot all about that.
Yeah, me too.
And I wonder what it is now that I'm playing it. I think it was the combat system nobody liked. It might have been more of a brawler, and now it's more of, I would say, sort of almost Assassin's Creed-ish. Just, not in the whole part, but when you can punch, and then you can do combos when you see the electricity coming off somebody's head, you push Y or triangle, and it's just a canned animation. Even though it's really cool, it is a canned animation. And I wonder if the bats and the crispiness and the graphics, or what it is that they... Because I never got to see that preview build. I don't think any of us really saw it. So what did they change in the last 8-10 months that made this game now the best reviewed superhero game ever to a game that people weren't really that excited about a year ago?
I think the biggest thing is that they differentiated it from the Dark Knight movie.
Yes.
They're doing something on their own, and it has nothing to do with the motion picture franchise at all.
I'm glad it wasn't an adaptation of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean that had to have been hard to weather the temptation to try to link it to a movie for some quick cash. But I mean, I think they are going to sell so many more copies now with the game that they have than if they would have done that.
It is pretty cool how they actually delve into Arkham Asylum. You don't even really get to see Arkham, like, much of Arkham, even in, like, the Batman cartoons from back in the day. It was just, you know, a long hallway to, you know, whoever's cell that they were going to talk to. And, you know, that was pretty much it.
You
get to see, you know, the real guts of the place and everyone who's in it. And I mean, it's intriguing, and I can't help but wonder basically if the combat system is going to get old or if there's enough variations in there through yanking guys across in a raft.
See, those are there are two things that worried me about the demo. I thought that the fighting would get repetitious, and I thought that it seemed like it would be a short game. But now that I've actually have the full game,
it's not short.
They give you so much stuff to unlock and different gadgets and stuff to play with that you're not always just punching. Sometimes you're sneaking. Sometimes you're grabbing people upside down from gargoyles. Sometimes you're using your batarang or doing silent takedowns. There's a variety of ways to take people down. If you only did the fighting, it would get repetitive, but they keep it fresh that way. And now that I got out of Arkham Asylum, I don't think I'm out of it. I don't know. I came outside. I guess I'm outside of the asylum or outside of the main building, and there is a lot to do. It seems like if you want 100%, it's going to take a while.
It's a whole different game after 2 hours.
It is. I'm just at that 2 hour mark, so I haven't got to experience that part yet.
I'm at about 6 or 7 now, and
that's refreshing.
It is just phenomenal. The thing that makes it phenomenal is that, and I hate to keep using that word, but it's just fantastic. I mean, the things that make it shine is it has, like you said, stealth elements to it. There is a run button to where he runs and automatically climbs and jumps a la Ocarina of Time, sort of like Link did. There is something else that has, like the grapple component. There's the combat component. There is the perching up on the gargoyles, and you can do the inverted takedown, grab a guy up, string him up, hang him, and when another guy walks under him, you can be far away and throw your batarang and drop him and scare the living daylights out of the guy underneath.
That part is fun. That's one of the fun parts of the game. You know, what else is really cool is when you go into detective mode, it's blue.
It almost cell shades it, yeah.
Well, it does, and it's cool to use because you can see through objects and you can see people in their bone structure, but what I thought was cool is there's different things that you do, like I don't want to give anything away, so there's just other things you do in that detective mode, but the detective mode changes colors. So sometimes it's purple, sometimes it's green, sometimes it's blue. So even though you're doing sort of the same thing, it feels like a completely different thing because it's a different color when you're doing it. I thought that was just a neat way to keep you interested and for it not to get repetitive or boring, you know?
I know, and a lot of times I use detective mode to see in dark places.
Yes. Instead of trying to pull out a flashlight, these games are giving you an alternate way to light your world, which makes the game more fun, more attractive, I guess.
Well, especially from the point of view of a character who's supposed to hunt from the shadows and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I found the game pretty intriguing. I actually saw a video of someone using one of the devices called Bat Gel or something. Which is amazing. He takes out this little can of gel and he sprays up, you know, the little bat logo, and then backs up and press the button. You see the wall nuke. And it was a video of someone who swooped down and took down a guy, I guess, and then sprayed underneath his corpse and then shot up to a gargoyle. And when all of his buddies came looking for their downed buddy, he just pressed the button and everyone went flying.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that you can do. And it's crazy. Like, the bat gel is the first actual item that you get in the game. And, I mean, that's not really spoilerific. So there's a lot of element to it, almost like Metroid Prime, where, you know, it's not the fact that you lose these items and abilities early on, but it's the fact that, you know, it's typical platformer style that when you obtain these items, then it allows you to progress to different places or to find different secrets and things like that.
Yeah, and don't forget, I think the best part of the game for me is the voiceovers. The sound design and the voiceovers
in
the game.
Oh, it's great.
It's just like playing the cartoon or watching. It's just so good. The voices are perfect. and the animation is perfect. And when they close up on the people, I was counting moles on one of the security guards' head. Like, you could see it, and it wasn't shimmery or weird, or their eyes didn't do anything weird. There were no graphical, like, glitches at all. And that might have been something they cleared up with the extra development time also. But what I was thinking when they were talking about this being the most critically acclaimed superhero game, there's two different things I was wondering. Is now, do delays actually pay off? Do some of these delays that we were talking about last week, is that going to make these games even, like this Bayonetta, even though it was almost finished, are they going to put that extra level of polish and super just sheen on it that makes it one of the best games we played because the game was already finished? And also, now that Batman is the best superhero game and people see that you can make good superhero games and they will sell extremely well, also, now are we in store for a good Superman game, for a really good Spider-Man game, for, you know what I mean? Now is that opens the door wide open. People now have to make good superhero games, because after Batman, we're not buying crappy ones anymore.
No, we're done.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that sounds like a level up on the part of the developers. Rocksteady,
it is.
Give it to Rocksteady. Yes. Gets a level up. Level 20 from the door.
Yeah.
Give them the flame sword right as soon as they start the game.
I think the other big thing about it, about Batman, is that they don't just tell the story through the story. The storytelling has been a bit creative in the fact of the patient tapes that you find throughout Arkham that play for you interviews and things with of the doctors to the patients. And some of them are actually a little bit disturbing to a point. Which, I mean, obviously that's what you're shooting for. I mean, and the other thing is that there are stone tablets that you find in Decipher that are supposedly the history of Arkham Asylum, which is read to you by whoever the Arkham guy is. I don't know. He's just, he sounds like this. And, I mean, while it's corny, it's still kind of something cool. And they really took a lot of care in making this a full Batman experience, and it seems like the animated series with a big souped up grown up coat of paint.
Yeah.
Since we are role playing games, I would like to connect it to a role playing game called Lost Odyssey on the 360, just because some of the audio tapes that you collect, sort of also like BioShock, I don't want to leave that one out, but when you collect the audio tapes, I've been collecting some for Harley Quinn, and Harley's tapes give you backstory to her, and it's just so good. Like, that's some of my favorite part. I have two of her tapes, and I can't wait to get the third one, because it just left off, and I want to know more about her, because it's stuff that I didn't know from watching the cartoons.
Yes.
And it gives you a really cool backstory, because you would think you know everything, and I mean, some people are really into it and know everything. But I just watch all the cartoons and really enjoy it, and it gives you really cool backstory to characters you might not have known more about.
That's really cool, and I totally agree with the grown-up paint job, as you put it. I did notice during the demo that Killer Croc looks amazing, whereas he used to look kind of stupid.
He's acted even better.
He used voice to look a little corny, but now he looks scary.
Yeah, I mean, there's no tail there anymore. He's just this ripped guy with, like, just really great job on the scales. The scales are amazing. The teeth are perfect.
Yeah, man,
perfect.
The animation is... Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, even the art direction, even their take on all of these criminals, these are super criminals that we've come to know and somewhat love, their take and the art direction at Rocksteady is wow. Wow.
They let you be Batman, and not just Batman. You get to be the detective Batman. Games forget and think he's just a brawler, when that's really not what he is at all.
Yeah.
So I think that our final verdict is that if you have the $60, if you have the $50, it is a no-brainer purchase.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. If you're a fan of Batman and you have the cash, buy the game.
And
early Christmas present.
You know, even if you haven't followed Batman in a while and you aren't the hugest fan of Batman, or he's not your favorite superhero, he's becoming mine, and that was just from playing the demo. it's
this will make him yours.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't say anything for sure on the PC. I haven't seen it on the PC. But you may want to shop around for screenshots that are PC specific and whatnot. But
it must look incredible on the PC.
Yeah, I bet it does. Make sure you've got the hardware to run it, so it looks good.
Yes, systemrequirementslab.com will give you an interactive kind of Java based assessment of your PC, recommended and minimum.
Nice.
So check that out.
That is worth writing down. What was it? One more time.
Systemrequirementslab.com.
Very nice.
Excellent. Very
nice. Nice, because I did not know that. Thank you. I wrote it down also. But one last thing about Batman, just in case anybody out there is thinking about which system to buy it for, me and Lifelike have played it on both the PS3 and the Xbox. We haven't compared it yet, but the PS3 does offer for free the chance to play as the Joker in different challenge maps. Not through the single player campaign, but separate challenge maps as the Joker, and that is a PS3 exclusive. And so it may be a reason for you to purchase it on that system if you were looking.
Plus, if you buy, I think, any copy from GameStop, you get the exclusive Scarecrow challenge map too. So that might be something to consider.
And
is that for either system?
I think that's for all of them.
Yeah, for all of them. And I guess that with Walmart, if you buy it, you get a special bat suit that you can wear during the Joker's challenge levels.
Nice.
So, yeah, there's another option. Excellent. Out there. They did that with City of Heroes, I believe. Depending on where you went and bought the game, you got a different looking sprint power.
I think that's the new hotness.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our last email, which is an audio email, and that comes to us from Gamesman Zeromwing.
Z-dub.
Let's have a listen.
All right.
I'd just like to say that after our last show, Excalibur, you are dead to me, sir. Dead! After the things you said about Grin, oh, how dare you. But we can't really take what you say seriously anyway, because, as you said, you look forward to everything that Squaresoft puts out. And no true gamer has looked forward to anything Squaresoft has put out since Final Fantasy X. Burn! And it's not like Squaresoft doesn't put out bad games themselves. I mean, come on, Dirge of Cerberus? Ugh. But you probably bought that game and enjoyed it, didn't ya? Didn't ya? Other than that, I enjoyed listening to the show. I do like the idea with splitting the single-player and multiplayer experience up, and you could pay like $30 for the single-player, $30 for the multiplayer, and it would equal out to the price of a full game if you bought it together. But, I don't know, you're thinking more along the lines of gamer mentality, you know, things that are practical and sort of work out the best for everybody. But, you know, as a business, most companies would charge you maybe $35 for the single player and $35 for the multiplayer, and in the end it would come out a little bit more than your average game, because, well, you know. But now I'm going to change my class into the avid listener and grind out a few levels now.
Zeromwing can eat my juicy deluxe. That's all right. Since Final Fantasy X, yes, Final Fantasy XI was a bust because I don't play MMOs.
Hold on a second, though.
Final Fantasy X-2. Hold on. Final Fantasy X-2.
He himself,
I didn't
picked
play
up Crisis Core.
Girls dressing up. He what?
He himself picked up Crisis Core and said he loved it. So that.
All right. Well, then see, there he goes.
That doesn't even stand.
See, I didn't even play Crisis Core, so I don't know.
I can't wait to play Crisis Core.
I can't either. But Final Fantasy XII, I was reluctant because they took away my cool battle system.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy XII is great. Final Fantasy XII is really, really, really good. And Dirge of Cerberus, yes, I did buy it on day one because I worked at GameStop and I had to go pick it up for our store, and I played it. I still play it because I didn't beat it. but it was really good, I thought. But 12 was fantastic. I just didn't play the ones where girls dressed up, and I didn't play the online one, which was 11. But besides that, yes, I look forward to everything Squaresoft made. I even played Bouncer back in the day and thought it was good until I got to the end in 2 hours and they wanted me to play it again. That made me mad. But the game was okay. So take that, Zerum Knees. Anyway.
Of course, with the games, when it's all in good fun.
Yes, yes. I can't wait till we're on the same cast again.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Again, it never happened yet.
All right, so piggybacking off of that, Scotsman, what is the featured music for episode 11?
The featured music for episode 11. This one's for you, Z-Dub. And it's from Bionic Commando. The wiki tells us that Bionic Commando is the seventh generation console installment in Capcom's adventure platformer series, and the sixth game overall following the original arcade, NES, and Game Boy versions, Elite Forces and Rearmed. The game was developed and published by Capcom in collaboration with Swedish developer Grin, best known for Ballistics and the Microsoft Windows version of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter series. And being produced by Ben Judd, the game is a direct sequel to the second game and its remake, Bionic Commando Rearmed, released in 1988 for the NES. And in 2008, as a download for current-gen systems, the first interlude will be the main theme, and the second will be Groder's theme, I think is how you say that. Amazon lists the game for new around $40 and anywhere from $15 to $28 used between PC, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
did you say that Grin worked on Gra?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ports.
The ports port.
To the PC.
Yeah, the PC.
Yeah, I never played the PC ports, though, I guess.
Yes, I. All right. I thought for a second, I was like, wow, I might have to take back my statement. That's a no.
All right, boys, let's get to shout outs. I have two shout outs this week. Shout to PSN ID Infected 503. He's a big part of EvolvedGaming.net, who are officially now part of the Gamesman family.
All right. Welcome to the family.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you can't get out.
My other shout goes to Doom_CMYK, or PSNID Doom of War. He took it upon himself to start a TQ Fat Princess game night, on which the Gamesman and Evolved Gaming jumped on board. The turnout was great, so I'd like to also shout out Danok, Help to Cats, Polis79, and Ultra Gamer. And I guess you too, Excalibur.
Even though you jumped off as soon as I got on.
Well, I mean...
it's all right. I forgive you.
Well, they boned me for work. I had to be up early, so I did play for about 45 minutes. But I had a blast for that 45 minutes. It was great to play with people with a headset.
Yeah, for sure.
Man. Shout-outs from you guys.
I'll definitely re-shout-out EvolvedGaming.net just as a big hearty welcome.
That's right.
The more the merrier. It's going to get crazy in here because we're all a little nuts. I've been getting some more Twitter followers. And, yeah, to everyone that has been following me, I have been trying to keep up with you. I just got a lot of people on my follow list as it is, and it's pretty full. So
Excalibur?
I would like to give a shout-out to BMI, Couch Mercenaries, TQ Cast, all the regulars, Gamers with Jobs.
Yep.
I actually have been listening to the KOXM podcast, and I really like that, so I'd like to give them a shout-out also. Also, TQ Cast, L Juice, we were playing some Shatter the other night. I was playing and saw his score on there, which I murdered, and then I saw Danok's score, which I doubled. So... I think a cast or two ago, a couple casts ago, L Juice was just giving away $20 PSN cards like it was water. And I missed getting on that because I wanted to get some free money from him because I think he was a little drunk. So I'm going to give a shout out to L Juice. If you can beat my Shatter score, which will be set by September 1st, The score that is up on September 1st on Shatter, if you can beat my Shatter score, I will give you a $20 Xbox Live card so you can finally get on some Xbox Arcade games. Like maybe Shadow Complex or some Trials HD. Okay, player?
Oh, man.
It's official. It's a gamesman challenge.
We had a couple of shouts from Twitter, and it's from one from Beer and Beards, and he wants to shout out his brother Beards and Beer again, and he says Batman is great. It's actually a real challenge. And from Beards and Beer, he says a shout out to Beer and Beards. Enjoy an ice cold beard.
Band of brothers.
Oh, they're hilarious.
They're funny, man.
I love it.
They are.
All right. Well, with all of the opening pleasantries and then some out of the way, we will get to the first interlude from Bionic Commando and return to play an abridged version of RPG or role-playing game. Alright, we are back for another episode of RPG or role-playing game. I have crafted two questions, known as random encounters and a boss battle, for Excalibur and the Rabid Scotsman. Keep in mind that they have no prior knowledge of the questions at hand, so it's all on the fly. The gamesmen are here to play roles, and that's what we do. The RPG segment will be abridged this week because we decided to take time on Batman. So, with that, let's jump right in. Random encounter number one for the Rabid Scotsman.
I'm up.
FCC, you later?
Oh, man.
This story comes to us via Gama Sutra. The Federal Communications Commission is looking into a new universal rating system for content on television, mobile devices, and video games, primarily considering revisions to existing laws to protect children from adult content.
There you go.
But the Entertainment Software Association opposes a universal rating system. Game industry trade bodies worldwide believe that the most appropriate rating system for video games is one specific to game content, citing consumer confusion and the First Amendment. You, sir, are the ESA. You've wanted games to be treated equally as other forms of media, so why be opposed to a broad rating system?
Okay. I think the main reason that we would be opposed to this idea is because we don't want to be lumped in and not rated correctly, I think, is the biggest worry. Even though games are, you know, fictional, just like most movies are and whatnot, they should still have their own separate rating system from what they're trying to do right now, I think, because I think the point that the FCC is trying to get at is that apparently our rating system isn't good enough. Our rating system has been around for a very long time and is very easy for parents to understand. It's not our fault that children aren't being protected from adult content. It's the parents' fault that they're not being protected from adult content. Just because families sit down and watch TV together, but don't sit down and play games together or watch their kids play games doesn't mean that they shouldn't.
So you're saying the difference is self-regulated rating system to government-regulated rating system.
Yeah, and mainly because they're probably going to end up being too strict about putting AO on games that we currently wouldn't consider being adult-only games. That we would be considering teen games with certain warnings.
See, but I was thinking I would like to be lumped together because the way the movies have it, the movie industry isn't going to let them mess up their ratings the way it is.
Yeah.
So they'll probably stay the way they are because they have all that money and lobbyists to get their ratings.
But movies aren't included in this. It's just television, mobile devices, and video games. So therein lies the flaw where the motion pictures would still not be lumped in the way that gaming wishes that it were.
Exactly.
I don't want to be, because TV ratings are completely different than movie ratings.
Yeah.
And they censor, they really censor TV ratings. Like, they censor TV completely, where movies don't. I was going to say, if we could get ratings like movies do, I would love that, because then you could have more content in a teen game. More mature content.
Exactly.
You could have teen P, there'd be a PG-13 sort of in between the teen and the mature. But just to lump it together with TV ratings and mobile devices, that's a slippery slope. I don't even want to have any part of that.
It is, which is why we, as the ESA, would much rather be lumped with something that is more related to us, which is kind of where I was getting at there. Because movies are a much closer bet to how we rate video games than we do television shows.
Well, and video games are also, like, television is something that people pay cable for and most people have and they can watch it with their family. Where movies and video games are the same idea. You buy them for your player, you bring them home, and you play them. You don't watch them all day long. You don't see your news on them. They're not on 24 hours a day to get all your information.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't even be lumped together in the first place. They're different.
Completely.
So let me ask you this, Mr. ESA. Mm-hmm. If you passed on this, if the government didn't actually mandate you to comply, would you accept a universal rating system between movies and video games, being that they are more closely related now than ever before?
Absolutely something worth considering, yeah. I would have to say that would be in our best interest, is being rated and lumped in there with movies than something that hardly relates to us in the first place, like they're suggesting now with the FCC.
All right, that sounds to me like a level up.
Bam. That feels good. It's been a while. I forgot the tingly feeling.
All right, random encounter number 2 for Excalibur. Quote the Raven, nevermore. This story comes to us via Gamasutra. Again. Wisconsin-based Activision subsidiary and Wolfenstein Singularity developer Raven Software has seen multiple layoffs, according to multiple internet reports now confirmed by the publisher. Consumer site Shack News also has a report which, quote, puts the number of layoffs at 56 employees out of a previous total 180 staff. Severance packages and placement support are apparently being offered to the affected staff, end quote. You, sir, are Activision. Do these layoffs reflect the initial sales of Wolfenstein?
Actually, they do not reflect the initial sales of Wolfenstein. The initial sales of Wolfenstein have actually been pretty good, in fact. We do have a pretty decent-sized fan base, and it's actually a really well-received game. See, the Metacritic score is around a 7.5, but if you look at those, a lot of the bottom ones are small publications. It's around an average 8 game. I mean, it sold pretty well for us. The reason we have the layoffs is because there are a bunch of people that we hire for production of a game, i.e. testers and different people that do work like that for us, QA guys, that we don't need after the release of the game. So most of those are the layoffs that you'll see. People that we don't want to keep on, that we don't need anymore. They were just temporary hires to begin with.
You see this quite a bit, actually. And Activision knows where and when to cut the fat, you know? They've been known to do it in the past, so...
Definitely. We're not going to keep people on that we don't need. We had people that helped us create the game. And they were very talented. We used them, and then we let them go on to work with other companies to help them with their games.
But 56 employees, that's a lot of employees.
It is a lot of employees. It's about a third of the team. Well, it's cheaper to outsource. I mean, we have a lot of QA.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of testers.
Wow.
I mean, we have to let some people go. I mean, you know, it is these hard economic times, my brother. We had to let we had to let some of them go. But I mean, for the majority, it was people that were going to let go. They were just temporary employees. And then we did, you know, we had to cut a little bit of the fat to maximize profits, but it had nothing to do with the sales of Wolfenstein. That's pretty much the point. We're happy with Wolfenstein.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is this somehow related to the layoffs at Endrant Studios, the ones that did the multiplayer component of Wolfenstein?
No, we actually just found, besides the temporary employees we had, we found about 25 of our employees were actually listening to the Gamesmen podcast, and that's a no-no here at Activision, so we had to cut them off and just, we had to send them going with their walking papers, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God, we could only be so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
I think we cut
the fat just like other people are. We might have let go a couple extras, but it wasn't because of the sales of Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein just released only a week ago, and it's been pretty well received, and we are excited about the game and the community following the game. So yeah, it has nothing to do with Wolfenstein and the sales.
Well, I mean, what I played of it at your place. Now, that wasn't any of the multiplayer, which I've heard is kind of broken anyway, but the single player, to me, felt and reminded me a lot of Return to Castle Wolfenstein. That, to me, is a good thing.
Yeah. I think it's the best Wolfenstein I've played. The controls, buttery smooth. It takes a lot from the Call of Duty franchise, which is not a bad thing whatsoever. You know, the controls are familiar. And you can tell they use some of the assets from Call of Duty, such as the map that shows you what direction and what objective you have to follow, the grenades. Some of the weapons are the same, like the M40. But it's only the good parts. And then when you hit the... when you lift the veil and go into the veil in the other realm, it's like a supernatural Call of Duty, pretty much. It started off kind of generic, I thought, just because it felt like Call of Duty. So I really enjoy it. I haven't played the multiplayer yet either. The other day I tried. It took me a while to get into a match. So I just played the single player. But, I mean, I recommend it as a purchase. I'd say go out and buy it. If you are a Wolfenstein fan, get it.
Well, from what I played of it, I would think that the initial sales were decent. I mean, if people played it. So I can sort of agree with you that maybe the layoffs do not reflect the initial sales.
Yeah, I don't think they do. It's a really, really well-made game, and people know that Raven has a proven track record. And we have, you know, Singularity's coming out in the spring in Q1, and that's going to be a really good game, too. They just put their heart and soul into their work, and it shows. I mean, a lot of people think that it's just another first-person shooter, and you can get that vibe when you first play it if you don't get far into it. But if you give the game a chance and really play at least, like, you know, like a fourth of it, I guarantee that you will enjoy what you play.
Well, that sounds to me like a level up. All right, since this is an abridged episode, that's two random encounters, and you know what that means. It's time for the boss battle. Boss battle. All right, the boss battle is entitled Super Secret Squirrel?
Gotta do it now.
All right, boys, roll your sleeves up because it is time for some more truth serum.
Here we go.
Showing off the guns.
All right. The boss battle comes to us via Kotaku. A post on the N4G forums has rumors swirling that PlayStation 3 cross-game voice chat was held back due to threats made by Electronic Arts. The poster, named Super_Secret, claims that, quote, a rather large company, end quote, wouldn't support the feature and says, quote, it's not Activision, it's not Ubisoft, it's not Capcom, it's not Insomniac, it's not Konami, it's not Take-Two, it's not Midway, it's not Squaresoft, Are we all getting the picture yet? And the last letter in we, the E, and the first letter in all, the A, are capitalized and bolded.
Huh.
You, rabid Scotsman, are John Riccitiello.
Great.
This is indeed something that the old EA would have done. Have you really changed as a company, or is there some truth to this rumor?
Wow, you slammed that ain't even fair.
It's your turn this week.
Yeah, seriously. All right, I could see us protecting some of our more solid titles and games that we really wanted to be included in the voice cross-game voice chat explosion. So, I don't think I consider it a threat, but more of a nudge in the direction of the realization that EA is still a pretty big, that we are still a pretty big publisher, and that without extra backing from a publisher of our size, they may not have the ability to go forward with it right now and be completely successful with it, or as successful as they would be. If they held out and waited for said titles to be polished and ready for this voice chat.
I don't understand why it's such an issue if it does it on the 360, unless it's that for some reason they can't get one or two of their games to work. I don't understand why it's an issue if the 360 already does it. The PlayStation shouldn't have an issue. I don't get it. What is it, Mr. John? Could you please tell us what the deal is?
What I can't understand is, apparently what they are saying that this blocked cross-game voice chat period to the PlayStation 3, because we should have had it by now. You would think that they would. Unless, I mean, the only reason that I can think of, that if it's not this, it's the fact that maybe it's that bandwidth, that which is possible, because you're not paying a monthly fee.
That's true.
Like you are at Xbox
Live. Yeah, that is true. And, I mean, the PlayStation 3 is a completely different system than the Xbox. It's been set up since day one to handle voice chat.
But I thought that was supposed to come out in the new 3.0 update. Can you not talk while in games now at all?
In game, but not if I'm playing one game and you're playing a different game.
But so it could work with other companies' games, but not EA's games?
See, it's hard to tell because it's slightly ambiguous, but for some reason, I mean, and I don't know how, obviously this is rumor, and I don't know how credible this is, but apparently if this super secret who claims to work for Sony, I don't understand what the point of this would be.
I look at it like this. I mean, as Sony, they just have to get it done. That's a deal breaker. I mean, if there's any problem with the system where EA's games won't work for some reason on it, which would have to be the sports games, because they're the only games that are different than other people's games. Because other people don't make sports games, EA does. So that's a drop on the ball right there for Sony. Without that, I mean, if there's not... Right now, there's the expectation that, okay, Sony's kind of behind, but they'll eventually get up to Xbox Live. If you can't talk cross-game, there's no catching up, and you might as well just throw in the towel, because you're never going to be able to compete with this generation of consoles.
Sony fans are tired of waiting. It's time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? they're tired of waiting for everything that they've been behind on, and Sony has been behind on everything so far, which is unfortunate for Sony, because there's a lot of people out there that love Sony. I'm one of them.
I love them too, but they just dropped the ball too much.
They dropped the ball, exactly. And I don't know. Maybe this is this super secret squirrel guy. Maybe he's
super agent squirrel.
Maybe he's trying to find someone to vilify, to kind of get the internet fanboys fired up and complaining again about Sony dropping the ball. It's, you know, it's a possibility that's all it is.
Well, and here's another thing. I mean, it could be something that's been done on purpose. Okay, I would say Excalibur. We talked last week about Sony. Any press is good press.
Yeah.
And I was just gonna say that.
I've
both of those stories were negative.
Yes, I mean I'm not sure. So let's take this from the other side. Excalibur, you are Sony. If there's any truth to this, would you really bend your platform to the will of one publisher?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we had Mr. Money had himself tried to bend us a couple months ago with our price point.
Bend you over.
And I don't know.
But you stood up to him.
I don't know. We did stand up to him, but then we dropped our price also. But I mean, I think he said it at the right time, and we dropped it. Now, I know Madden, Wii Sports Resort sold a lot. Sold 500,000 in the month of, I think, July.
In 8 days.
NCAA sold 600,000 in the month of July with the PS3 and 360 combined. I don't really want to lose out on a couple hundred thousand sales of a sports game. That's just one game. And Madden's a bigger seller than that. So would I bend to the will of it? I wouldn't bend, but I would definitely negotiate. We could sit down at the table and talk about something and work something out, because I'm not trying to go backwards whatsoever. We're trying to move Sony and the Sony brand and the name forward as a company. And so we're looking at forward progression, not backwards progression. So I'm not trying to lose any developers. We've already lost some exclusives. I'm not trying to continue the trend. So would I bend the will of one developer? I won't break to them, but I might bend a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
All right.
For somebody like EA.
Okay. Well, then let's wrap this up with the killing blow. Rabid Scotsman, truth or fiction?
There could be a grain of truth to it, but I'm thinking fiction. Any press is good press.
Excalibur, truth or fiction?
I would like to think fiction, but for some reason there's just little weird things that you would take for granted that the PS3 just doesn't do, and I want to believe it's not true, but I'm thinking this might be one of those weird little snafus that it just doesn't work out for some weird reason.
Well, we will hold you to that and hopefully revisit it when we learn the truth. But that sounds to me like the boss is down.
All right.
Killed that mother!
You know, somebody, if somebody was listening with kids, they just turned the volume down real fast because they weren't sure if you were going
to
stop.
Well, they should know if they listen to episode 3 that we don't swear. For we're all about the kids. We don't murder them in our games or anything.
Please tell me everybody's still recording.
All right, well, we will get to the second interlude of Bionic Commando music and return to wrap the whole thing up. Alright, we are back and it's time to involve the community. We're going to get to some blog comments here. We wanted to clean up some of the Metroid Prime trilogy comments from last week. The first comment comes from Zerumwing, and Excalibur, you have it.
First comment is from my big buddy Zerumwang. At first, I was completely against the idea of a 3D Metroid, so I didn't get the game until later on in the GameCube's lifecycle. Once I saw it for cheap, I decided to give it a shot, and holy balls was I blown away. Not only did it make the transition perfectly, but it was a showcase of the GameCube's power. One thing that I really hate is how later versions of the game retro-patched the sequence breaking. There was a few places you could use certain techniques to get to places that you shouldn't be at that point, and get items you shouldn't have. And it seems in the trilogy they did it again. and that is completely wrong. Sequence breaking has become a part of the Metroid series, and is a big reason why the games are so replayable. I could see if it was something everyone could do, and would ruin the flow of the games, but it is not. Yet you need to take a lot of time, and have good skills to do these things. It's almost like an unintentional bonus for the hardcore fans. But anyway, aside from that, Retro did a good job with the Prime series.
Yeah, I actually sat down and played a couple of hours of Prime, and man, it is so nice with the bloom lighting and everything. It is just fantastic. But I don't want to get into that because that's part of the next comment, and that is from M, and that is yours, Rabid Scotsman.
The first time I went to Skytown, I was in awe. I must have burned an extra 5 hours or so there, even though I had wrapped up the missions. I can't wait to have my memories jogged for seeing Talon IV and visiting the Chozo Ruins and Fendrana Drifts, all with improved bloom lighting, no less. Heck, I can't even wait to head back to kick some ing butt in the dark world of Echoes, as hard as it was. That's the thing that really sticks out with the whole trilogy for me. Retro knows how to make memorable locations. It isn't all about the number of polygons on screen, it's about the architecture and the art design. Prime really is like stepping into a virtual world, one that can only be experienced in video games. Isn't that the reason we all play?
Those are a couple of great comments.
Right on.
And that's what I was thinking about these comments that we got when I first started playing Trilogy the other night. And it's just, man, it was such a great trilogy. And going back and experiencing these again, like M said, with bloom lighting and all of the little tweaks that were made to Prime 3 and being able to play them again with Wii controls and everything, it's just awesome. It is awesome. Man.
I feel left out because I haven't played it.
Well, I'm gonna have to saddle my Wii up and bring it over because
yeah,
it is
to leave it for a weekend or something.
Oh, it's just fun, man! Is it great?
For a month.
So did they redo the entire controls for the first two? So it
actually,
like
yes,
the third
and that's not the only thing that they did. The Prime 1 and Prime 2 have Wii controls. They have bloom lighting. There's a few little graphical tweaks that they did to the engine that they added. And I think the biggest thing that they did was the reward system that was in place in Prime 3 was the tokens, the different colored tokens you would get for doing certain things. I can't tell you how excited I was when I went through the pirate freighter in the beginning of Prime 1,
mm-hmm.
Defeated the boss that was in there, got a token for that, and then escaped the pirate freighter and got a token for that. So the reward system is now in place throughout the entire trilogy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. I mean, I'm really happy. What a Batman and Metroid, what a great week for games.
I wonder if either one of
man.
Those hurt the sales of the other at all.
I don't know. I mean, I would think probably no.
They're just two different audiences, probably.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Except for you.
Except for me. God, I look forward to both of those for I don't know how long. We had one other comment on episode 10. And that was from Light Arrow. And he says, why have backward compatibility for the PlayStation 3 when they can make you buy all of the games over again as downloads?
Oh, we discussed this in episode...
Every episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, wow, should I start just listing them? They will make more money that way, but maybe, you know, we're all hoping that they're going to make that step forward. Like they keep promising that, you know, the hardcore fanboys... And just give us what we deserve for buying the PS3 and for supporting Sony.
The only thing that's killing us now is that the PlayStation 2 is still selling.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even really play PS2 games on my PS3, but it's just the fact that I want to be able to do it because I get those feelings every now and then where I just want to pull out Dark Cloud 2 and just finish it because I never have.
Yeah, I mean, it really shouldn't be this big of a deal.
It shouldn't. It just should be in there.
Yeah, it should just come as part of the system. They didn't have any problem with it when the PS2 came out. You could play your PS1 games on it.
I mean, I actually, let me rephrase that a second. It shouldn't be in there at all. They got us hooked and akin to having it in there, so now we want it back. Your system shouldn't have the old, like my Super Nintendo didn't have a Nintendo in it. You know what I mean? Like, my Genesis didn't have a Sega in it. But since PlayStation came out, and that was their thing that they did to make them special, and now they're trying to take it away. And to me, that means that you're not special anymore.
Sounded like you were ordering at a restaurant. Can I get a Genesis with a little Sega in it?
I don't think we have that.
But yeah. I think you're right. They should have never... They should have never strung us along and gave it to us to begin with as hardware and then software and then strip it out of everything.
Yeah, it's like getting sex before you're married, and then you get married, you don't get any sex anymore. It's like, well, why did you give it to me in the first place and trick me into thinking I was going to get it every day, and then now you're going to take it from me as soon as I put the ring on.
So, oh, man.
Anyway, I put a post up yesterday on the blog, episode 11 pre-show comments. The first comment was from Beer and Beards, and Scotsman, you have it.
All right. Beer and Beards, my man, says, can you guys just focus a good chunk of time on Batman tonight? The characters look so good in the game. The detective aspect of the game is quite a challenge, and I appreciate that. Also, Batman looks like Michael Keaton, but he has the voice of Kevin Conroy, if I'm not mistaken. Just a lot of fun visually and gameplay-wise. If you haven't played it yet, it's worth at least renting. May I add that I believe you should set up a 360 game night, much like Lifelike does with PS3. So Excalibur, you need to get on that, bro. And hey, I'm down. I'm down. I've got my 360. I'd love to do a game night. Just depends on if I got the money for to buy whatever game you guys are playing.
I'll have to pick a game. I'll have to put a couple games up, and we'll have people vote on what they want to play.
Well, we'll have to figure something out, I know, because we do want to start having more game nights and things like that.
Or at least an arcade game, maybe like a cheap arcade game.
Yeah.
Or something. We'll do something. We'll do something for everybody. Get together and play some games, and you can see how good we really are.
When all else fails, there's always Burnout Paradise.
I have it for actually both systems, so I'm down for either one, anytime. Bring it.
All right, Excalibur, you have the other comment for the pre-show from Beards and Beer.
He says, Gamesman, loved the show last week. Lifelike and Excalibur, as always, a good time hearing you. Hope to hear Scotsman soon. I hear nothing but good things about Batman, and I can't help but wonder why the PlayStation got the extra content. I want Joker and Scarecrow maps, and I like extra maps. Why, Gamesman, why? Could this be payback for the Ghostbusters? LOL. Keep it real. So I don't know, man. I'm really upset about the Joker thing too, because I would buy it on the PS3 if my PS3 wasn't maybe gonna die again.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's PlayStation finally bucking up and putting some money towards an exclusive. I'm kind of happy for them. They needed something to spur some sales for those systems.
Oh, I mean, even the comparisons between systems have supposedly went to the PS3 that I've seen so far.
I doubt it.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to test that ourselves and check it out.
We are. You'll have to bring it over and we'll put them back to back.
Yeah.
I really am interested to see if there is a difference.
Switch inputs.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, and this is the reason, you know, with these comments and how much hype that Batman got, and the request for spending a chunk of time on Batman was the reason why we decided to just kind of slim down the RPG segment. So we had one comment on an article that I wrote. It was about Eternal Darkness and how Eternal Darkness is still, to this day, gaming's Citizen Kane.
great article, by the way.
Thank you.
It was good.
Jay says, it is really a great game and costs on eBay about 10 euros. It's a shame that Nintendo let Silicon Knights go. A sequel would be great, like Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy 2. No sequel plan there either.
Oh, really? Sphinx, huh?
Yeah, they say that was actually a pretty decent game. I never played
Sphinx
it.
Sphinx says what?
Jeez. All right, Scotsman, you have started something that seems to be a bit of a trend.
I guess, yeah. It caught on faster than I thought. I would be talking about this little thing that we do on Twitter called hashtag the Gamesman Check. And it's basically us seeing what you're playing. And, you know, if we're playing the same thing, we'd love to jump in with you. And the motto I had kind of come up with was help us help you not play with retards. And that's basically what it is, you know, you're part of our community now, and we want to know how you're doing and what you're playing, what you're enjoying. Maybe you can suggest something to someone else. And then, you know, on the show, we can go through the games and check and see who's playing what, and maybe you guys can get together.
And by retards, we mean just not nice people online.
Yeah, obviously we have nothing against the mentally impaired.
Or physically.
We got quite a few replies. Here's the first one. It's from Hardly Dan. He says, the game's been check. Playing COD WAW, which I believe is Call of Duty World at War. Nice. And waiting for his internet to be connected. Oh, that bummer, man.
Hardly Dan's on top of this game. He might have to be an honorary member or something. He's all over the place. Yeah.
He is all over the place.
Shout out to Hardly Dan.
Absolutely.
We had another one from Zerum Wing. Hashtag the gamesman check. Playing some Super Metroid on ZSNES for the win. Sequence breaking for the win.
Got another one from Easton Arrow. Hashtag the gamesman check. I am playing Infamous. Love it. The game is shocking. Which is a very good game.
All right, let's see. We've got another one from Love Marion. says, hashtag the gamesman check. I'm playing Infamous. Love it. The gameplay is shocking. Repeat?
I don't know. This one just came up on Twitter, and it's an exact copy of what Easton Arrow said, so I have no idea, but I figured I'd include it anyway. It wasn't a retweet or anything like that.
Just trying to get mentioned on the podcast.
All right. The next one was mine, and the gamesman check. I am all wrapped up in Metroid Prime Trilogy and Batman Arkham Asylum at the moment. Both are fantastic.
Good stuff.
Next would be for me, Excalibur 713. Says hashtag the gamesman check. Right now I'm playing Wolfenstein, Batman, Trials HD, Shadow Complex on my 360, and then I'm playing Shatter, Fat Princess, and Infamous on the PS3. All of those games are worth your time and money.
And then you got the last one from me, which is the gamesman check is busy as hell, first of all, and playing Silent Hill Homecoming, revisiting Rock Band 2 with my wife, Hyro Lily. And man, I hate Bobby Kotick.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
I had to throw it in there.
That's a good good community response this week.
Yeah, it was nice.
Really, really happy with that.
For starting it at, you know, 4 a.m. last night as I crawled into bed ready to pass out. I was surprised that we got a pretty decent amount of gamesman checks there. So keep them up whenever you see them.
Nice. Closing comments, Rabbit Scotsman.
Well, I do have one thing that I have to hound you about here.
Jeez.
Because we can usually find you anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, all over, everywhere. You're JSS, LIFELIKE. We hear it every episode, except for one place. Steam. I'm looking at my Steam's friend list right now, and it says last online 117 days ago. So I had to burn you there a little bit, because I see Acid Bee is on, Zerum Wing's on. I mean, it's great.
Well,
we have our little community on here.
I bet Trey, I can probably remember what day that was.
That was actually the day that you got on and you tried Left 4 Dead for free.
Yeah, the free Left 4 Dead trial. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been seeing you since, man.
didn't buy it and go back.
Yeah,
I'm actually waiting to buy Left 4 Dead. I'm going to wait to buy the inevitable bundle.
Yeah,
which it is inevitable.
Yeah.
Anything else, Rabbit Scotsman? Any more hell you'd like to give me?
No, I think that'd be it. It was just great to lay down another show with you guys again this week.
Agreed.
It's been a little while, so.
Excalibur, any closing comments?
I just wanted to say a couple things about. There's Fear 2 demo, which is out today, is August 28th. At first, I didn't download it because I thought it was just the Fear 2 demo coming out really late. But I noticed that it is a new single-player downloadable content demo. I think it is a first time on Xbox Live or PlayStation, for that matter, that there's been a demo for DLC for a game. So I'm guessing it's a pretty substantial DLC for Fear 2. It's a whole single-player campaign, I think, a new add-on for that game. So if you get a chance, check it out. There's a demo for it. Might be worth your look if you still have your copy of Fear 2 or were thinking about getting it. And also there was internet rumor that there is going to be a Super Elite Xbox 360. And that was on the German Amazon website. It said that it would retail for $400 US, 250 gigabyte hard drive, two wireless controllers, and a Forza Motorsports 3.
Wow.
Sounds like a cool bundle for me. If anybody was looking for to get into it or maybe upgrade to a bigger hard drive, sounds like a good idea maybe for Christmas. XboxGaming.co.za has that bundle supposedly coming out in October. Now, Kotaku pointed out that this is the same German Amazon that leaked the Slim PS3
yes.
a week early. So, may have some meat behind this one.
We're going to have to watch it, definitely.
Yeah, you have to watch out when you get that meat behind you. but anyway, it may be true, so keep your eyes open for that one and get a chance to check out the Fear 2 demo. I also want to put my stamp on the Lost Planet 2 co-op demo. It is great. Be on the lookout for it. If you don't have a friend, you can still play it single player. Shout out to everybody who follows us, who's been listening, TQCast, BMI, Couch Mercenaries, Cheater Platinums, The Knock, and Rabid, Zeromwing, Acid Bee, and Lifelike. Anybody I forgot? Sorry.
I think you just about covered everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd like to give my shouts out.
Shout out to the planet.
Shout out. Yeah, shout out to the planet.
That could simplify it for the next
time. Ozone layer.
There was only a few things that I wanted to get to just really fast. We were thinking about looking for, if any of the listeners are or know of an audio production student that's in need of portfolio work, we'd be more than happy to hand production of the show over to someone like that.
Absolutely.
The other things that I wanted to mention was all of my fellow Guild Wars Guild members, Ion. If you pre-order Ion, there's a cross-promotion with Ion and Guild Wars that you can exclusively receive the Ion Wings emote in-game for Guild Wars with the pre-order of Ion. Just kind of nifty.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It looks neat.
Like a good game.
Yeah, you can check everything out on guildwars.com. They'll have a link to the promotional page.
Cool.
Other than that, screw you, Bobby Kotick. That's about it.
There's the Activision minute, right?
That's about it.
I had to mention it too, of course.
real quick on Twitter, just a few minutes ago, was hashtag the gamesman check. Beer and beards. He's playing Batman, and it is awesome.
Yes, nice. It is.
So there we go. Well, it seems like episode 11 has come to a close, and we'll throw it in the time capsule for posterity. So, on behalf of Excalibur and the Rabid Scotsman, I am Lifelike, we are the Gamesmen, and until next week, we ask,
what role will you play?
Feel it in my wiener.